If you'll open your worship supplements to 779, we'll begin with the first stanza. From Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. In Jesus' name, beloved of God. Perhaps you've heard the saying, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Well, this much of it is surely true. When we speak, or when we write for that matter, we do reveal something about ourselves. Perhaps we reveal our knowledge or our thoughts, our desires, our way of thinking. Sometimes we even reveal what sort of entertainment we watch or what kind of books and magazines we read. Communication begins in the brain. So when we actually do communicate, we are revealing something of our brains. A rather scary thought, considering all the useless corruption that is stored somewhere up there. When Jesus opens his mouth and communicates through speech, it also reveals something about himself. But it is not so scary, because he reveals no corruption. In fact, what he reveals about himself is so much more beneficial for the people who hear him than anything you and I might communicate about ourselves. The first recorded words of Jesus were when he was 12, of course. And he said, "I must be about my Father's business." With those words, Jesus revealed his connection with God, in whose house Mary and Joseph had found him. With those words, he also revealed his great love for us. It was that love for us that was his great taskmaster, and told him that he must be delivered up to the Gentiles and despitefully used and put to death. And then he must rise again on the third day. So he spoke to his disciples. In his love, Jesus considered you and me so important, along with all people, that he must do what was necessary to save us. Now, some 18 years later, he has completed his schooling, and this time he comes not to the temple, but to the River Jordan, where John was baptizing. And he gets in line with sinners coming to be baptized for the remission of their sins. Not surprisingly, John tries to hinder him. John reveals that in spite of his great success, in spite of the fact that crowds of people are streaming out to hear him from all over Judea, he does not consider himself so great. He is a sinner, just as they are sinners, just as you and I are sinners. And John says that he too has need of baptism, and he would rather be baptized by Jesus. And then Jesus speaks again. Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. When Jesus was 12, beginning adolescence, he amazed his parents by identifying himself with God. In his second recorded speech, he identifies with sinful mankind. He for whom equality with God was no achievement, he chooses to place himself a little lower than the angels, as we heard yesterday. He takes up the position of one lower than the Father, for this was proper in the carrying out of his mission to take humanity's place before the judgment seat of God. He again accepts this mission, taking his place with sinful people, looking forward to receiving their wages, death. And later he would speak of his death as the baptism with which I am to be baptized. Then John consented, Matthew says, and not John alone. But in the next verses, we see the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of a dove, the only instance recorded in the Bible where he appeared in this way. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved." A dove? Why, that was the sin offering for the very poorest of Jews to bring to the temple. And it may well have brought this to mind for the people to whom Matthew wrote. Was Jesus a sin offering? The witness of the dove says yes. He's looking forward to laying down his life as a ransom for sin. And the Father from heaven will tell us already it is enough. He is well pleased with this offering. And whoever is found with him, he is well pleased with them too. At the age of 12, Jesus identified himself in his relationship with the Father. Now the Father and the Holy Spirit identify with him. You see, it is not just the Son who is on our side. It almost goes without saying then, is there any reason at all to continue rushing from responsibility, like Adam and Eve in the garden, trying to hide our faults from God or to shift the blame to other people? On him was laid the iniquity of us all. His blood cleanses us from all sin. In love to him who so loved us, our only response must be to repent and lay claim to his wondrous grace. May God lead us to this daily. Amen. Stanza 4.